It's 8:45 on the clock. We'll call the meeting in order of the Board of Supervisors. If you're able to, we will stand and cite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. Items listed on the consent agenda are approval minutes of the meeting held February 18, 2015. Approve all claims through March 4, 2015 in the amount of $459,077.16. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit number 1013, Bob Schuster, to trench across Township Road for buried power line located in the southeast 4th, section 28, and southwest 4th, section 27, Township 3 North, range 5 East, Lincoln Township. Approve clerk of the district court summary fee report for the month of February 2015. Approve March Against Child Abuse around the courthouse for April the 15th, 2015, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. April 11th, 2015. That will be held on April the 11th, 2015. And that's something that we've allowed in the past, that they've done in the past. Need a motion to approve consent agenda?
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Approved consent agenda. Any questions? No claims are pulled. Vote. 6-1, 7-0. Vote 7-0. Committee reports. Building and grounds.
Nothing new other than we will have J.T. Harnberg in talking about the covering the lights and the courthouse in blue, but everything else is going well. Dave has been on vacation, but they're getting the snow off sidewalks this morning, so everything's going just fine.
I forgot to read this line right above there, a regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anyone may comment on any matter that's not on the agenda. Is there any comments from the public? I know there's some here to talk later and stuff, so. If not, then we'll go back to committee reports and equalization.
Nothing new.
Finance.
Nothing specific to pull out other than notification from the clerk's office that we've had communication from a party at Health and Human Services regarding our audit, and it has to do with some agreements that were signed by the county attorney's office, and they've also within the our annual audit, there are recommendations for changing certain processes. And so next meeting, we will need a resolution to address some of those items that are in there. And I've visited with Roger about that briefly, and then that'll give us some more time to work on some of those things. So that's really it.
Human resources. Oh, Terry, go ahead.
I just wanted to add two things to that. A couple big ticket items that were on the finance. Murphy tractor, we paid for the track loader in the amount of $147,536. And another thing I wanted to mention, in the last 2 weeks of this 2 week billing, outside lawyer fees were $14,359. And insurance fund money was spent for $42,172. And also we met with the insurance.
Yep.
Well, Myron.
Yeah, I'll bring that finance insurance. We did have a meeting last week with Amber and Lowell and Brad, our insurance carrier people. And they came down and updated us on a few things that with the Obamacare and what effect that have on us. They we'll have more. We will be visiting before our next audit, not our audit, our budget here. They will be back down. We'll visit again. They are trying to keep us up to date with what may affect or how it may affect our county or what it may cost us also.
Well, the main thing that stuck in my brain after that meeting was they called it the Cadillac Plan. In 2018, the federal government isn't for sure, but they might, if you have a benefit of health insurance being paid for you by your employer, that could be taxable in 2018. Starting in 2018, and more than likely it's probably going to happen is the drift I got, but I don't know. So anyway, right now they're requiring you send in forms or something. Don would know better than I on that also.
Well, yeah. Don gets considerable more paperwork to do through this thing than before, filling out the forms. And
because Amber brought along a form that every employee will receive this next year, and it will list on there each individual month, and we have to record each month that they were on our insurance plan. And that will be part of what, it's a 1095 or something? Or
1095. Yeah. We'll have to do 1095 B and C, and that's to track every employee that was on our plan, offered our plan, every dependent, and for the months, and that will be beginning at the end of this year. So,
and every employee will receive that sometime in January, and that will be something that they will be needing or using when they do their income tax. So that's
and these are employers that have over 50 people, I think. And if I remember right, they said the tax rate they would be using would be right at 40%. So it's going to be a... I don't know if that's for sure yet.
That's
not this year. That's
right.
That's not this year. But this 1099 form, that will be required to... At the end of this year.
And I think we all know a lot of things can change between now and 2018 as far as that insurance plan is concerned.
They just are trying to keep
us
aware of what may be coming down the pipeline a little bit, so it was interesting. She did say as of the first, do we have 6 months on there or five? I can't remember, 5 months. We were definitely in line. We were doing real well with the claims we'd had, but there were some months that were a little more than others. She had a copy of each month what we had for claims and all of that. So far, she was real well pleased with how our plan was going this year. But that also, again, Danny, that can change at any time, too. And one or two claim could really bump that up.
And we've seen that. We had 1 year or 2 years where we had a couple of employees on our plans that they had some significant health issues, and it just shot clear through the roof. Mm-hmm. And, hundreds of thousands. And so we haven't had that for a while. We want to keep everybody healthy. That's why I need a good wellness program.
Don't even want to talk about it here because we don't want to throw it the other way because we did that with the roads on the one time. And Rose went back.
Is the county plan considered a Cadillac plan?
They call it a Cadillac tax, not a Cadillac plan.
Cadillac tax.
Okay. It's a Cadillac tax. Anybody with more than 50 employees will be affected by it.
Okay. But it would be any insurance?
It's a certain amount of insurance. If you get that coverage, then they're going to tax you. But we've been told already in the last year or so that we're going to be taxing you, putting it on your W-2 for insurance. So that's really not anything new that we've heard. It's just they're labeling it something different. So I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Law enforcement.
Everything that we discussed on Monday is going to be later in here, and I don't see any reason to hash it twice today.
No. So I'll agree with you. So, roads and bridge, Terry.
The 1 and 6 year plan has been filed with the NDOR. We're going to have our regular yearly Township Association meeting at the Extension Office March 26th at 7:30.
7:30. Oh, I put that wrong in here.
Then. Yeah, I changed it. 7:30, okay. I think, 7:30. Myron. we had discussion on road limits. I did check with Jefferson County how they're doing theirs. On all their new roads that they have, the Plymouth Road and the other ones that are going to take place, he said they're putting an 80,000-pound cap on it. And I said, what about your other hard-faced roads? No signs. They're not posted. So the other ones prior to this, you can do whatever you want, but overload permits, harvest permits and everything they can use on them. So they're not posted. So, but all the new ones, he said they're going to cap them at 80,000. So that's what Jefferson County is doing on that side of the road. And we're going to discuss this, I think, at our March 18th meeting. Again, we'll bring it up and make a decision what we're going to do. Other thing I had, we're directly involved with the Extension Office, and I had quite a few comments from people that had stated to me that Paul Hay has been doing an excellent job. This new farm bill, there's a lot of scenarios you have to run through, and it's a program that he has over there, and he's stayed late at nights and did some other things, you know, beyond his call of duty probably. So anyway, they wanted me to compliment him on the job he did for the farmer in the Gage County area or other surrounding areas that he helped with on getting their this decision made on this new farm bill you have to sign up for. So
one more thing on there. I think, Roger, if you want to talk about Ian Gernewalt and Zion Church.
Oh, yeah. There's a request that the committee asked me to look into about crack sealing on a church's parking lot. Looking into that, there's two reasons that I'm going to suggest to the board that we not do this. Number one is liability issue. We are a public entity, and that is going to be doing private work. As much as it sounds good and it won't take that long, once you start down that road, folks, you know, say I got an acreage out there on Pickle Road, and my old asphalt driveway could use a little crack sealing too. If I call Galen and say, hey, put me on that list, will you, and I'll pay for it. They're willing to pay for that. The problem is our liability. There's a question whether that would cover it, and you're setting a precedent where we're also hurting private entrepreneurs, people that do this for a living. And I don't think that's something we want to get into where we're competing with other people. So I would, as much as I'll get some letters and emails on this, I would advise the board not to do that.
Well, let's see how difficult it would be for them to find a private contractor, because there are certainly people doing it around, you know, that would do it. And
well, I think it was one of those, while you're out there, could you just
kind of make sense.
Do it? And it makes sense. And if we were a private contractor, that would work out great. I know that happens quite often.
Yep.
But it's county, it's public. We really can't get into that business.
Galen, you'll be able to visit with him then. Anything else, Terry?
No, that's it.
Oh, did I miss? I skipped Human Resources, John.
I didn't have anything.
You didn't have anything?
Nope.
Not quite. Well, we're pretty close to it. I'm Jane. We really don't have anything else here. At 9 o'clock, we have a Veterans Honor for Lloyd Drake, but we have a few more minutes yet to wait, I guess. So, or do you see anything else on there that we could? Not really.
You can start your discussion on who you want to be a member.
Oh, the wind farm. Yeah, the wind farm. Let's do that one. Where's that at on here? Oh, approve or disapprove appointing member and alternate to attend meetings with Lancaster County on the wind farm regulations. That is the first meeting right now, tentatively is scheduled for March the 12th, and they are looking at doing that every 2 weeks. They are looking at probably the working wind farm group. They would like 5 to 6 people from Gage County right now. We'll have one from the board, one from the zoning board. They have a Mr. Altman, who's a farmer up here in northern Gage County, that they've already contacted that will count as one of our Gage County people. I visited with Dale Linsmeyer already, and he's agreed to be on it. And we'll be looking for a couple more yet. But I know, Matt, you expressed some interest maybe in being this our designated person or not. Or I mean, I'm looking for volunteers or whatever. Or
yeah, I can try and make as many of those meetings. I mean, it's an interest.
Part of my, if you had the interest, it's sure. I don't know. Is there somebody that would like to be an alternate, John? Or
again, that's
you'd
no
be
problem.
The alternate.
Yep.
Okay. These meetings are going to be open for the public. There is the Working Wind Farm group, which most of the conversation will be with and in between that group. But they are, my understanding, unless something changes, they are going to be open to the public, so anybody will be allowed to attend them. That's the information we are receiving. We do not know the location yet of the March 12th meeting. But so I entertain a motion to appoint Matt as our designate Ann John as our alternate.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Motion by Byers, second by Thiemann. Any more discussion? Vote. Now, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, vote 7-0. Sorry. Got ahead of myself. 9 o'clock, and we have on the agenda the Veterans Auditor with Lloyd Drake. Phil?
Hi, it's my pleasure at this time. Honored veteran this month is Lloyd Drake, and he's got a very interesting history. Served over 20 years in the United States Army for our country, and when I was going through his records, I saw that he enlisted in August 15th of 1947 and into the Army Air Corps and was discharged October of the same year. And I couldn't figure out why, and I was looking at his discharge, and apparently either the recruiter or somebody was trying to get somebody in a little early. He was 16 years old, I believe, when he first went in. So he only got to serve a few months, and then he got discharged, but then he rejoined the Army in July of 1948, and he served until March of 1973. He served in Korea, and he also served in Vietnam, which is very interesting for his service. But
48 to 53, you said 73.
73 is when he retired.
73, so he was in that many years.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. The medals that he received was the Army Occupation Medal for Japan, the Korean Service Medal with 3 bronze battle stars, the UN Defensive Medal, the UN Offensive Medal, the CCF Intervention Medal, Expert Qualification Badge, Army Good Conduct Medal with 4 oak leaf clusters, National Defense Medal with 1 oak leaf cluster, the UN Service Medal, the Republic of Korea Presidential Unit Citation, the Republic of Vietnam Campaign Medal with the 60 device, the Army Commendation Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, and Bronze Star Medal. At this time, I'd like to introduce Lloyd Drake. Something, we'd be more than happy to hear it. I want to hear about the date of birth changing from 1930 to 1931.
Oh, Phil. Would you like to hand that to
him? On behalf of the Gage County Board of Supervisors and the Energy Office Board. If you got anything you want to say, feel free to say it now, Lloyd.
I'm glad to be out here, I'll tell you.
Here.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Words don't come to me, but I know when I was in the military, it got to me right away. I didn't think I was ever going to get out of some of those places. That's about all I can say.
All right.
Thank you for giving you the word.
What?
Just thank him for giving
me the award. Thank you for the awards.
Well, Lloyd, no, thank you. I don't remember that we've had anybody yet that's been in the service as many years as you were, 25-plus years. A lot of them had just served there, I believe, maybe 4 years or whatever. And that's why I asked Phil. I thought maybe it was a miscomment or whatever, but that's quite something to serve our country as long as you did, and we just want to thank you and let you know how much us in the county, we all appreciate what you've done.
Okay.
And all the veterans. And just a minute here, Terry, we've got another little something for you.
Lloyd, on behalf of the county, we would like to thank you, appreciation, for this small gift. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. I have have just a couple comments here, too, about our Veterans Honor Program. This was something that Matt started, and we started way back in our first honoree was in April of 2013. And so far now, with Lloyd here, Lloyd was our 22nd honoree from the county. I believe this is one of the more popular and more commented on programs that we have. It's really impressive how many people that have been honored by this that have come up and thanked us or thanked the county. And it's from the whole county. It's not just from the board. It's from the whole county that they have been honored for their years of service. And we really, really do appreciate that. We appreciate the amount of time they took to serve our country. And I know sometimes we don't honor them enough, but we just, as a county, we want to thank them all. So thank you, Lloyd, again, and thank everybody else. And just one more quick side note, three of the 22 have already passed on. So that is part of why I believe Matt came forward with this idea is they are getting along in age, and we really want to thank them before they do pass on. So, Matt.
I think at our next meeting, I talked to Myron, because that'll be a complete year that we've done this. We'll go through and read everybody's name again and just kind of re-honor those. And maybe every once a year we should start to do that and honor those in memoriam as well, because we are losing some of these. So far all gentlemen, but at some point we may have an opportunity to honor a woman. So.
Yes. Well, Kensington definitely thanks you for remembering all of our veterans that we have had the pleasure of bringing up here for their honors.
Thank you. Gary?
Yeah. The one thing I'd like to say is that, as far as I go anyway, the one thing that I've noticed, I guess I didn't realize before, was just how impressive the heroes we have walking among us. So.
And we appreciate the Kensington for the effort they make to bring others here to share in this event for each of your honorees.
And Phil, maybe you can help out too. I've had several people since ask me how do they get their name up, or you know, who do they contact? And we've been telling them always just to contact Phil here. And
We have nomination forms that people can fill out. We have some out at the Veterans Club. I believe Dawn's got some in her office, but they're out there. All day. Somebody just fills out a nomination form and.
And then who, or how, I guess, do you have kind of a criteria to decide, or are you just, you meet with your board, or?
It depends on how they come in, and what, there may be a rush, or a need to get somebody in a little sooner, if they're failing health, or if they can make it to the meeting.
So, yeah, and we did, I don't know if we had a meeting since that, we were down at Wymore. Oh yeah, after our last meeting down there Thursday at Wymore, and we're able to present Mr. Winslow with his plaque and his gift, because he was not able to make it here. So, but that was Bob Winslow we did, and then the Wymore paper was down there and covered that and had a real good article in there on that one too. So we just want to let you know too that one we were able to do, because he was quite moved by it also and had a lot of his family there. So thank you. Next, we have J.T. Thornburg, Lights for the Autism. Would you like to come up and...
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
I already have one, J.T., so...
Yeah, I've got another.
Thank you.
One, J.T. Are you keep enough for those two guys on the end? The two guys on the end, the press there, make sure you keep enough for them so they get one.
Didn't realize. I
have one too. Otherwise, so
I got one. I couldn't receive my commission.
I ain't got one.
So they had to get an approval from Congress.
Still got one.
Give me my commission before I turn 21.
So your commission was approved by Congress.
Right? Yes.
Not everybody can say that.
That's true. But it's really interesting as I hear some of these date stories, and I remember very much when I was just a young kid, and in OCS with a lot of people, a few years old.
On the board here, you know, I'm not sure who has.
They'll know. Phil would know, too.
No, you haven't, have you?
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't. I know I haven't. Just in case.
Go ahead, Dick.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I'm J.T. Thornburg. I'm here to push some awareness for the autism in our society. What it is, and as you'll see in the brochures that I handed out, the course of autism is one of four that's recognized internationally. It isn't just in the national, but it is international. It's and it explains how it works in there. I happen to have a grandson that has autism. And it's a worthwhile cause. What it is, the name of it is, or their caption is, "Light It Up Blue." And as you see on the brochures, it goes throughout the nation and throughout international communities. I have been in contact with the state capitol, a fellow by the name of Bob Ridgely. Excuse me. And he is helping me on this, giving me some ideas. They have 4,000-watt fixtures on the tower of the capitol. What we're talking about here is simply putting what they call a gel over the lens. There'd be no expense to the county whatsoever. And our objective is to turn the courthouse blue for a period of time in recognition of autism. And I'm working with the TV station NET1, and also a company in Lincoln called Midwest Sound and Lighting. And I was on the phone with them again yesterday. Dave Jones and I came over Friday night, and they call these gels. Theaters use them to change colors on their stage and this type of thing. So my question to you people is if I could get permission to do this, to turn the courthouse blue for a period of time. The autism month starts 1st of April. The designated day for autism is the 2nd of April, and it goes through the month of April. So I probably should have went a little bit sooner on starting to do this, but I guess my question is, of course I need your permission to do it to the courthouse, and I guess at this point in time I would entertain any questions.
And this, you're not changing any light bulbs or anything. These are the lights out there on the ground that illuminate the courthouse. There's four of them or six of them?
There's 12.
Oh, 12 of them. You'll put this cover over those lights.
Right. There's two up on the tower, Myron, and then three on either side and two on each end.
Okay.
So what I want to do is get a rich blue color. It's real sensitive because with these gels you put on there, if you get it too dark, it turns purple. This is what the guy at the courthouse has told me, and also the people at Midwest. So these are the things that, and then I've got to figure out a way to mount these on the fixtures. The metal highlight is 400 watt here. There are 4,000 watts on the courthouse or on the Capitol building. So, yeah, that's it would be a matter of putting these gels on the existing fixtures and then taking them back off. That's all it would amount to.
For 1 month, from April 1st through April. And I would move that we approve the lights for autism on the courthouse.
And I'll second it with one condition. As long as it's not K-State Wildcat purple, and it is blue, I'm good with that.
You know, pancreatic cancer, I think their color is purple, and
okay,
breast cancer.
I'll rescind that. No conditions. I'll just second it. How about that?
Okay. Any more discussion? We have a motion and a second to approve during the month of April.
It's for the month of April. That's when you're going to...
You want to do it the whole month of April, or what?
Well, that'd be okay if we can, if
that
that's okay.
That was a motion for the month of April. And
I think it'd bring appropriate attention to our fight against autism and our recognition. I think we should do that.
Any more discussion? Vote? 7-0. Thank you, JT.
And thank you.
For what you do with the courthouse lights. So.
We'll see what happens. Thank you.
Next up, Jane Wittig. Widoff, I guess, not Wittig, Widoff, with Public Health Solutions. And I believe you were going to come one other time and the weather wasn't good enough or something. Yes.
I was just thinking today that, yeah, Jane Ford Widoff, Director of Public Health Solutions, and I have one of our staff people I'd like to address it to. But I was thinking about how many people we work with here. You know, we don't do all of our work, of course. We encourage and make it possible for others to do initiatives. And we've had a pretty successful time in attracting some funds to deal with some of the priorities that we've had. The other side of that, that's a little hard to manage because our base funding isn't that great. And there's... Just for your information, I'm not lobbying here, but I guess there's going to be consideration of increasing the appropriations for health departments for the first time since 2002. So I hope that happens because, you know, you have a fairly small amount of money and then you can leverage it for other grants, but then it means a lot of hustling around trying to keep things covered. Anyway, this year, you know, we really appreciate your support for the SCIF-LU program. It's been so long since I first talked with you. But we're now up to, is it 30% of children in our district now are immunized against the flu? So I think that's pretty good. And we've gotten some boosts from the insurance companies to increase participation. So we're pleased with that. This year, we have another initiative that we weren't really counting on, but they've generally not made immunization funds available for us to apply for. But anyway, this year they wanted us to propose increasing immunizations for one of the gap areas, and there are a number of people you would think with all the immunizations around, number of people that do not get immunizations. And the one that came to our mind is HPV, which immunizes people against many kinds of cancers, cervical cancers, et cetera, and also male cancers. And because we have other programs where we try to get people screened, and they're, what the heck, doing all this screening, and why not just go prevent it? And so we did get a small amount of money to work with three counties to increase our immunization level. So we hope we're going to be able to do that. The RAED grant we got a little while ago, and I think I've mentioned it to you before, but Kate met with the county emergency managers because we have this big initiative to get 30% of the population aware of the importance of CPR and to get involved when there's an incident. So we're happy about that. They'll be coming and talking with you. They won't shock all of you, but they'll be coming and talking with you. And one of the more exciting programs that we have, and I say more exciting because it's not a traditional thing that we've had, but is something that's really public health, and that's working with communities to make changes. Like they want to increase, walking, biking, good eating, and that kind of thing. Well, and also to integrate that better with healthcare providers. And so what we're going to be doing is bringing resources in for communities to learn how they might increase walking and biking along with their other activities in planning, and also to help them increase the availability of resources for physical activity and whatever, because that's really quite a bit of interest there, and it's also a positive for economic development. Hospitals and the physicians, you know, have quite a time with having to convert or adopt make changes in their records so they can do a better job of identifying who's at risk and serving people better. Anyway, we have quite a few resources to bring in for that, too. So I'm really eager to see how we're going to do all of this, but because, they give us a teensy little bit of money for people, but hopefully we'll do well, and it'll be a welcome thing for the healthcare providers. We have other programs, and I'd like Sharon, if you could. Sharon is this is her home base.
You'll have to share because I'm going to bring it up for everyone. So I'm just going to put.
So I'm Sharon. I joined Public Health Solutions back in November, and I am doing case management, nursing case management for Gage and Jefferson County. And I passed you out a pamphlet. It has my business card and kind of about what the Healthy Pathways program is. I serve clients here in Gage County and Jefferson County. I'd say 90-95% is Gage County. Not many in Jefferson. I get referrals through the social worker at the hospital, through some of the different doctor's offices here in town, and then also just clients talk and they can call and do a self-referral. Anybody can refer anybody to the program. We do a lot of assistance with medications. One example is we had a client that had been hospitalized here at Beatrice about three times in 1 year with diabetes problems and wasn't taking insulin. So, they kept going to the hospital because they weren't taking their insulin because they couldn't afford it. And Tracy, the social worker, was able to contact me, and I was able to get the client some free insulin through the company. And I also assisted the client filling out Medicaid applications, and he was accepted and now is getting, his insulin through there, and also is following up with a primary care physician and taking his insulin. So hopefully we'll not have another admission to the hospital. We do a lot of also, I'd say, primary prevention. I do a lot of education just on healthy eating, exercise, just good habits. Also a lot of secondary prevention. I do a lot of diabetes education. I show clients how to use their diabetic pens. I monitor their glucose logs, keep in contact with the doctors about lowering their hemoglobin A1C, which is a blood level that shows if they're keeping their blood sugars down and doing what they're supposed to with their diabetes. I also try to make sure that everyone has a primary care provider, and I can assist them in calling the offices and kind of setting up that process. Also making sure that they have a vision and a dental provider. Dental has been a little difficult. There's not very many dentists in the Gage County area that will accept Medicaid. That has been a bit of an issue. Usually I'm able to find someone, but some of them may have to travel, and transportation is an issue. So, try our best there. Do a lot of case management. Anybody that comes in, I go over all their resources and try to find whatever resources that they could use or need and refer them to other programs. I refer clients out to Beatrice Hospital to their diabetic educator. What else? There's a ton. You can read over and review that sheet. That's only numbers from December because we were planning on coming to that meeting in December, so I didn't update it, but I've seen a lot more clients since then.
We are fortunate that we do have a public health solutions office in Beatrice now. We did have just the CREAT office and now for the five counties, and we have our office here at Southeast Community College.
Right.
So you can stop any time and visit with the staff, and they'd love to have you.
And I do have actually some clients now that are just walking in the office asking for assistance. And it might not be something I, need to stay with them for, but I can refer them on to different resources. And I do also assist, if they're in need, I will help them fill out Medicaid applications. Some people just don't understand how to fill those out. Or food stamp for SNAP applications. Just a lot of people need assistance with those things, so we're here to help them. And then I also brought a brochure out at my office. There's also a program called Healthy Families America, and that is ran by a nurse that does the case management for that. And then there are four caseworkers that go out into homes. And the goal of that program is to try to get people when they're pregnant, trying to get moms when they're pregnant to make sure they get their prenatal screening, to make sure that they're eating right, to make sure that they get their vaccination for their Tdap when they're in their, 8th, 9th month of pregnancy to prevent whooping cough in infants. And then after the baby is born, they stay with the family, and it's to promote bonding, brain development. They also are really good about finding other resources in the community for those families also. If they're in need of housing, making sure that that infant goes to their follow-up doctor's appointments, making sure that infant gets their immunizations. So it's another, kind of set of eyes in the home to kind of help guide those parents and educate them. And that is really needed also. Now, they have not had, they're growing, but they've had not as many referrals from the hospital as they would like. They're getting a lot of referrals through the WIC clinics. They're going to the actual WIC clinics, and people are signing up with them there. And I know that we have spoke with also with the CREAT doctor's office. They've gotten some referrals there. But I think it's a really good program that really, I think, could be utilized more if we could get some more referrals. And anything else?
No, I was going to say we work very closely with the hospital, Beatrice Hospital. When they did their planning process this past year, a lot of the priorities that they identified were ones that we also embraced. And so we're following through on that. For example, increase the number of people with insurance was one of their priorities. So, some people will think, all they're doing is they're helping these people that just don't have resources. Really, it's all part of what contributes to the community. It's not about those individuals, but it helps the hospital do better, hospital be more viable, and, believe it or not, what happens with those individuals without insurance or whatever will affect you in cost. Another thing I want to mention is the veterans. We have started our veterans program. Veterans Outreach works with the veteran officers, and that's to make sure they're getting all of the services that that they should, and that they're not lost in the system. And now I'm going to lose everything. And the schools have been working with the schools for a long time, but we just changed the location of one of our voltage units to, we're working with them to increase the walking and biking of kids. And while Beatrice is one of my favorite communities because you're so active on your own, and anything we can do to help just is gratifying. But anyway, we're appreciative of your support, And if there are issues that are of concern to you or whatever, please let us know. We try to keep track of everything, but can't always. And so I guess that's about it.
Any more questions or comments for Jean?
I'll just comment on what Sharon does there is valuable. In my almost 20 years of healthcare experience in management and administration, you'll find that the increased cost of healthcare because of noncompliance and adherence to medical treatment and care is creeping up. And even as providers, we are held more accountable even than the patients are, where if there's a readmission over a shorter period of time, you will not get paid for the additional services provided. So these types of programs to keep people doing what they're supposed to be doing, you would think that would be correct. But there is a knowledge deficit in healthcare where people don't understand that you have to follow up with your primary care. You need to take those medications because when they do come back to, again, the provider, it costs them because we'll have to provide the same service or a different level of service for no coverage. And so those are great programs. And some hospitals actually will even do that themselves. They have programs where they'll assign a case manager prior to their discharge, and they help them navigate that system. So that's a great program.
I also help. I have a handful right now, about 5 clients that I do a weekly home visit on, and it's for, like, noncompliance with medications or – one, I think, has like 18 pills. I mean, how do you keep organized with 18 medications, you know, and diabetic? And so I go and I help them make sure that they've gotten the refills when they're needed so they have them. And then I also help them organize them in a pill cassette so they don't have to try to open 18, you know, bottles a day and try to remember what they're supposed to be taking. And then looking at their glucose logs to make sure that their, you know, sugars are staying where they need to be. And it's not a very long visit, you know, but it keeps that person compliant with what they need to be doing. And with heart failure or diabetes, those things that you don't want to be readmitted, you know, if they're taking their diuretics every day or their antiarrhythmic medications every day, they're not going to end up back in the hospital. And if we start to notice a little change, we can get them into their primary care instead of having them go to the hospital. So,
you know,
it's a really good program.
Yeah, it is. And you're so much better off than a place like Saline County. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a diabetes screening program for those with a Hispanic background. And out of 200 people that were screened, and they all didn't have diabetes, incidentally, but 65% of them had no means of paying for care or no physician. And many of those were diabetics, you know, flaming diabetics, but did not have those resources. And, you know, we have a lot of resources for people that have money, but even at that, many people don't use, you know, aren't compliant anyway. But then those that don't have money, you know, how are they going to pay those resources? And that's where it gets kind of tough. You know, you'd like to do what's good for everybody, but, you know, they're not charities either, so mm-hmm. they can only pay so much. Anyway, and we do the dental screening program now. We're going rip-roaring on that. But thank you so much for your mm-hmm. ongoing support, and glad to be here.
Thank you for giving us a report again, Jane.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Sarah. We don't need to put that on file or anything, do we? No. Thank you. Christina.
All the five countries do, but we probably need less than
it's double.
I don't know the exact color map.
It's crazy.
I think the first thing on there was the cash request, and that is a little weird in the language. I'm not requesting money from you, but I am.
You had to request cash.
Yes. I am requesting that you sign off on the cash request from the grant, so it's just a spend down of the grant is what it is. I have 2 reports there because I was a little bit late in our January, February. I think I maybe gave you January, February, March, and April. At least I should have, but if I didn't, then I'll correct that on the signature ones. Any questions about that? We can only request 2 months at a time, so that's why there's two different ones. And we'll have one more after this, and then that grant will be spent down. On the report for the quarter, October 1st through December 31st, in diversion, we had 25 adult intakes, 27 juvenile intakes. That's a little misleading, too, because the Crime Commission considers 18-year-olds as juveniles yet. However, in the county court or wherever we file them as adults, or Roger files them as adults, and so that number is a little off. I did just complete a class series, the 4-week class series, with the adults or with the juveniles and their parents, with 19 completions with that. They will, a few of them have, but most of them have yet to complete their 20 hours of community service, and then they'll be completed with that program. Continues to be mostly minor in possession in the juveniles, and with the adults I have just a variety of different things, ages 19 to 65. We had 61 youth who were being served with the Beatrice Public Schools as a result of the truancy program, the student staff advocate program that part of that grant covers. And we paid, in December, we paid this $100 or the $50 stipends. It's $50 a quarter for those teachers who are matched with students who monitor their attendance. They meet with them just a, hi, how are you, every day that they're there. If they're gone for a couple of days, they'll make a call home and see, is there anything I can do to help you get back to school or back caught up with their work, that type of thing. It is helped immensely. I think in the City Police Department report, Beatrice Police Department report, Zach had, who is our school resource officer, had a line in there that said that only a small percentage of what he sent on to the county attorney's office last year in truancy filings. And so we're seeing a big increase in students being accountable for their behaviors, I hope. Three juveniles were referred for supervision of the community service hours by the county court, and all three of those juveniles completed their community service within that quarter. And most of the time it's just 20 to 40 hours. It's not a big deal, but need a little bit of help in getting that set up and supervising that to make sure it gets done sometimes. So, any questions?
Roger?
Well, I just didn't know. Did you need a motion to approve that? You need a motion for that?
Yes, but I want you to look at these. These look like they're exactly the same. But
okay. I have to his name.
Okay.
Okay. I'll just trade you out.
One of each?
Yeah.
Okay. This is what you need to submit back to
the Crime Commission to get
the commission to get
the money back.
Yes.
And it just flows through the county. It's not money that
right
that you give me. So again, misleading in the cash request type of thing.
We need to approve this so that this will be filed, and then that money will continue to flow back.
Correct.
To here or whatever. And it is for the time periods of one is from January to March, and the other one's from April to June, and a total of, if I read it right, 42,000, a little over.
I think
that
one
is expenses. Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
No, total of these two requests are 28,482.
28,482. Okay. Yes.
Of these two requests, we had one prior request, and then we'll have one more request after
more
this.
Request. So yes, we need a motion to. What motion?
Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann, to approve signing for the cash requests for January, February period, and March, April period. Roger?
I just make a comment again. Christina does a great job with the diversion program. Gates County has been very proactive with the diversion program. We've had a number of years. It takes a qualified person like Christina to run it correctly. I know the state all of a sudden has seen the wisdom of having diversion programs, and trying to tell us how to run model ones now, and they just need to come here and see how it's done. So again, I thank Christina and I thank the board for support. And I would note to the taxpayers, we do this without taxpayer money. So that's, and again, hopefully as it grows, we'll continue to be able to find grants and stuff to help us out on that. But I think it's very beneficial to keep this many people out of the court system.
Yes. And I think something you can't never put a dollar amount on it, but where it shows up is in the future, in that a lot of this benefits those people greatly down the road.
Of those 19 kids that just completed that class, it was most of them, I'd say 16 of them were from one party. I'm never going to see those kids again. Those kids are never going to come back through the criminal justice system. And to involve them would have been more damaging to them and their families than just going through 4 weeks of class.
So, vote 7-0. Thank you.
Thanks.
I have one other question for you. Visited a little while back with you after we did our audit with the school. I visited with you and about the school and just wondered where that was at, if you've been
started
able
to. Working on it. I have a couple of different counties. Of course, every county is a little bit different.
Right.
And so it's proven to be a little more difficult than what I thought it was going to be at the beginning. But I have some examples, and Roger and I, as soon as things slow down a little bit, hopefully we'll be able to bring something back for you.
And what that is an audit because of the money goes through, actually, the Beatrice School District.
Correct.
That we do not, at the current time, have an agreement with them for that part of that.
Correct.
And we are working on trying to get some agreements and get them worked through so that
formalize it. I mean,
formalize it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a verbal agreement for these years. For some of you who don't realize that I am an employee of Beatrice Public Schools, the coalition, Gage County Maps Coalition, has always been under Beatrice Public Schools. When I started and we took over the diversion program, that's when the agreement should have taken place. However, we just had a verbal agreement all these years. So,
yeah. So
thank
we're working
you.
On that. Thank you. Here's your
Myron. Make a motion to place the October 1 to December 31st report on file from Christina.
Christina, do you need these? We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Byers, to place on file the second quarter report by Christina. Vote 7-0. Next, approve or disapprove emergency procedure reference book. I believe.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle. You'd like to visit about this once and explain a little bit what's going on and what we're doing?
I believe most of you have been here. We talked about this Monday, but this is to work together with the emergency procedure manual that we have for all the county buildings. But this one will be specific to this building and what patrons and employees are supposed to do or go during these types of incidences. And once approved, we'll go through this with all the employees. We can go through this with you as well. And I just talked to Tim. The tornado drill is statewide tornado drill is the 25th of this month. So we'll be able to implement this in a drill with all the employees and still keep the building going to be able to provide services. Like to thank Tim for working with me on this process. Any questions?
And this is a reference book for just the courthouse.
Just the courthouse.
You mentioned that at committee meetings. The other county buildings were not involving with this reference
book
right now.
No, we just did this here. So,
but
Tim, it could be made for the other buildings
as
well. It's not hard to change.
It's not hard to change. Okay.
Which I think would be a good idea to get done, because I don't think Galen wants to be without an idea of how to take care of himself if any of them things arise.
Yeah. I think that would be great, too, to have that for the other ones. But this one here was, I should say, designed for the courthouse. That's what I'll say, that we're approving and stuff. So, no, we had discussion at a committee meeting. It looked very, very good. It gives some listings of what to do if or when something would occur. And that way everybody will have some guidelines to follow and the steps to follow through.
Right.
And along with this, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit. You're going to go through and kind of retrain everyone?
Yes.
Do you need anything with this for that, or you'll just start working that in once this is approved?
When we've had training before, we've asked the department heads to send half their employees, like, in the morning for a training, and then the other half in the afternoon for a training. That way we keep the courthouse functioning and still get all the employees trained. So I see us doing that same thing with this. So,
are you taking Myron's picture right now?
No, I am not. It is off. It is off. So, all right. If you see a green flashing light, then it's on.
Then it's on. All right. Thank you. We have a motion.
We're a tie today, and so we're, you know.
We do have a motion to approve, and a second to approve, Emergency Procedures Reference Booklet, it's called. Vote 7-0. And I skipped a line here up above. Approve or disapprove resolution directing Gage County Attorney to institute action to foreclose delinquent real estate taxes.
So moved.
Number 15-04.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann.
I like to direct the county attorney.
Yeah.
We don't want to miss these dates either.
15-04.
Roger. You have a comment on that, or
I don't mind being directed. That's fine. No, it's just a protocol we have to follow on our annual collection of delinquent taxes. So,
more discussion. Otherwise, vote 7-0.
Thank you.
Discussion on the meeting held with Seward County officials. We went a week ago, last Tuesday we went up and met. I don't know if Gus wanted to come up and talk about it. Otherwise, we sure can. We met with the sheriff up there and his jail administrator, and then two county board of supervisors up at Seward County, and had approximately a two-hour meeting. And I and Eric went along with Don also, and discussed basically what their bond issue is and how they're going about proceeding with that. They were like us a little bit ago. In 2008 or 9, they proposed a bond issue for a jail, and that was defeated rather soundly, and they're coming back now and basically incorporating a three-story building. One floor will be the jail. One floor will be all the court system, and then another floor for offices and some other county offices. But approximately a $13 million project they're looking at. And they visited with us how they were financing that and how they were going about funding it with adding approximately $2.5 million levy on to their taxes. So very informative meeting, very interesting meeting. They did not have an exact number on their jail, what that was going to cost, because it incorporated all three floors, somewhere around a $4 to $5 million jail cost, but they didn't have that broke out to be an exact number or whatever. So, and then we also visited about with, you know, their inmate population, and they are like us, and the fact that it's slowly been rising, the costs have been rising, outside housing has been rising, and just things that they've been faced with, issues they've been faced with, like I said, real similar, a lot of them, to what Gage County has been. Matt or Eric, you guys want to?
I think one of the things they were really facing, too, is a real difficult issue with trying to secure their courthouse. We have access problems, but theirs were even worse, it sounded like to me, where there's really no way to secure the access and egress people could just wander in almost at will on the floors of the court. So as we were talking, I thought we were talking about the jail primarily, and then as we got plans out, it's a full-on courthouse with courtrooms, jail, 911 center.
Yeah.
So that $13 million we were looking at for their jail, like Myron said, it's actually probably closer to a $5 million investment on the jail itself, we think. I think that may have been one of their big selling points, too, was the new courtrooms, new courthouse. Their courthouse currently is a historic building, but instead of renovating it and fixing it, I think they're going to use it as office space and storage and then move all their functioning courthouse duties to the new building.
Well, and their mechanism of funding it, they did not do a bond. They did what is affectionately called the nickel tax, and basically allows a public body to impose an additional levy of up to 5.2 cents, I believe is what it is, without a vote of the people. There are some requirements of that, and I believe the statute, and I don't know if we've clarified that, but reads that you can't have any existing bonded indebtedness. And so they didn't have any, so they didn't have to go to a vote of the people, which, you know, I guess I have a problem with that. But, you know, their mechanism is legal, and it worked for them to do that. Their county was a little bit different because I wanted to ask them some other questions about the size of their county. They're, you know, we're 860 square miles roughly. They're 540. They don't have any paved roads or very few paved roads. We have 150-some miles of paved roads. Most of their paved roads are state highways. I looked at our primary funding department is the roads department, and we're up over $4.5 million funding, and they're $2.5 for their roads department, so they have less expense there. They have a commissioner form of government. They don't have a township form of government countywide. Their levy, they would have increased at 2.4 cents. And again, I'm just throwing some numbers out here just as my trying to work this back and look at where they were. Their current jail budget is similar to ours, about $700,000, and their wages and benefits for that is about $300,000. And I asked him, I said, well, if you build a jail that's roughly twice your size, going from a 26 to a 52, what would your operational expenses be specific to wages and benefits? It would have been an 80% increase in wages and benefits. So additional $240,000 or an additional $250,000 that they would have seen. So I look at that and say, well, okay, yeah, you've got your capital expense, but you're also going to, if you build a bigger one, you're going to have an increased operational expense. And they didn't count that into their levy. So there will be an additional levy on top of that, which will be part of their general fund outside of their 2.4 cents. So their bond was a $700,000, or their nickel tax was a $700,000 for 20 years. And they got a pretty good rate. I don't know. They're probably less than 3%. They didn't know for sure. So, I mean, you know, as far as how they bonded that, they got a pretty good rate. But, you know, they were their total levy, I think, was 27 cents. Is that what they said? 27
yeah.
cents. So their levy, they're kind of in a different position. But I think that what it showed is there is an avenue to do those things if it works for your county and it happened to work for them.
There's something in addition, and I don't remember what it was. Their levy was actually going to decrease with something else rolling off.
Their valuations went up.
That's what it
was. So the taxpayers are actually, with the addition of this, that's a good point, with the addition of this nickel tax or this 2.5 cent increase, their levy is actually going to be less. Now, you know, that's just depending on which is the numerator and which is the denominator when you figure out valuations and levy. But they'll bring in more dollars but a lower levy. But the total county valuation went up. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked to them about 73% of our valuation is in the rural areas, and they never really gave us a number. I don't think they knew exactly what their valuation split was.
Don, I visited with Don afterwards because the numbers didn't quite write up what they were going to. Their valuation wasn't $1.2 billion. It's $2.7 billion, or just a little bit bigger than ours. She contacted the county clerk. Because then their numbers.
They said $1.2, didn't they?
That's what she said. Okay. That's what the lady, Whitney or whatever, told us. Yeah.
Okay,
and
so they were off.
When I come home, I go, those numbers don't add up. They can't get enough money. But the $2.7 billion, which that valuation is a little bit higher than ours, which I could understand because their ag land up there probably is double our value. Wouldn't you think, Terry? I mean, Seward County, probably at least double our value, their ag land and stuff. So that's
You kind of said that statement before, and I would agree, is that they have a capital improvement project for the courthouse, which includes a little jail, is basically what they've done,
yeah,
versus the $15 million jail project.
Yeah.
I think so, that's...
Which I think we were about halfway through our discussion before we even realized that.
But they were what Matt said, they were increasing. They're currently, I think, 27, and they were increasing it to 54. Their new jail will have that. And they're a couple months away from going out to bids. They haven't gone out to bids on this yet. They're getting ready to go out to bids on the project.
When they only bonded $10 million, they were going to use some other funding. Was it their inheritance and some other things?
They were anticipating. The estimate was $13.1 million. They're hoping to get it to somewhere around $12 million, but they did. They only bonded for $10 million, so there's
other funding.
There's got to be other funding right off the bat without the additional operating expense. And their jail manager, Terry, I can't remember his last name, I think he made a really good point. He said, don't try to sell a jail on making money. I mean, he was specific about that. It's not going to happen, because that always comes up in conversation. Well, we'll make money on this
by housing other prison inmates, by housing outside ones.
He said don't anticipate that. It's nice if it comes, but don't anticipate that it's going to happen, not yet anyway.
But they were, just to say again for the record, they were very gracious. I think it was a good opportunity to go and see how a different county was able to solve an infrastructure issue that worked for them, and I appreciated their time. Go up there. It was well, time well spent. That's all I have to say.
Any more discussion on it? Otherwise, we'll go on to the next discussion on the Wymore Blue Springs Tower. So this is our communication tower down there in Wymore, our guest located in Blue Springs. We did have, John and I attended a meeting down there Thursday, I think the 19th. Klaus was there. Who else?
Tim.
Tim was there, and then a lot of the departments in the southern part of the county. O'Brien Dakey was there. Oliver was there from the city. A lot of the departments in the southern part of the county, which that tower, a lot of their communications is on. That tower, when we went through our statewide system, did have a report on it that was deemed unsafe. And we have not moved on that since then. And a lot of their concerns was, what direction were we heading? Where are we going? Will that tower be replaced? Since then, we've had an informal quote of pretty close to $200,000 to take down and place that one. John, what else am I missing? Or Doug, if you'd like to visit, you sure can too about it. What we had, we... did visit a committee meeting about what are some of our options. You know, we do have agreements with some of the other new towers that have come in, some of the Verizon Tower, the tower south of, yeah, Tim, if you'd like to, south of Wymore, whether it's come in, we have some agreements so that we can place some communication equipment on those.
I did some research yesterday on two towers that were just lately installed. One was a Horvath and one was a Verizon. One of them, the Verizon, is over by Philly. The other one's over what they call the Barneson Tower, but it's actually south of Wymore, right near the Highway 8. 8 and 77. According to the Horvath, it says the proposed tower is 230 feet in height. Co-location is at no cost will be available to Gage County at or below 140 feet. And one of the reasons why is they want to, it says our anchor tenant requires a microwave at height of 146 feet as well as antennas at the height of 196. And we require to allow them at least 15 feet of separation from other equipment on the tower. That's basically to keep from interference. The Verizon Tower that's over by Philly, it says Verizon will allow Gage County to locate one antenna
with one line of communication cable on the tower at or below 100 feet. So that's going to limit us a lot. And if I'm remembering right, we're going to need more than one antenna, correct?
On the Blue Springs?
Well, I mean, if we need to replace...
If we didn't have the Blue Springs tower and we went to these other towers, we would require more than being able to put just one antenna on each of those. So we would have to have more than just two towers with one antenna each.
I believe, if I remember correctly from the meeting there's another antenna that's existing on the Blue Springs tower that was left there on purpose in case we had a problem with the primary antenna, that information or that traffic could be switched over to that secondary antenna. As a redundant system, basically. So it gets a little complicated. Yeah,
doesn't each one of those radios, though, have an antenna themselves?
Which
because
radio?
Of the pagers and the tower itself, wouldn't they have?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that there's like on the Charter Tower, they use one antenna for multiple different things that it goes through this process to transmit and receive back out of that same antenna.
Okay.
But I think it's better if there's a separate antenna, if I remember correctly, for each one. And I don't know what the discussion ends up being today. Well, maybe one just thought or idea to throw out there is that maybe there could be a, you know, small committee formed, to have some research come to a single point, like we have discussed in maybe a bigger spectrum over the past, that this committee could be kind of in charge of gathering this information and data, maybe, and then come back with a recommendation to the board with some options for, you know, the near future, maybe report back in, you know, 30 days or 60 days and see what they found out, and then they can come back and forward this to you guys as a body, and then maybe help you make a, you know, better decision or something, for some options to come up with. But that's just the one thought that I had.
Okay. Part of what we directed to Monday was we directed Doug to visit with the statewide system again, the people there. Originally, when our discussions were going on with the statewide radio system, they proposed to put an antenna or something on our tower down there in return for some funding. And they decided not to do that because this tower was deemed unsafe. And Doug's going to visit with them to see if we do put up a new tower down there in Wymore, Blue Springs area, if they may be interested in that again. We don't know. But Doug is find out that too. But, yeah.
Yeah, these were the only ones I could find at the road department when I went down there yesterday. And that's what Nancy pulled out for me so I could go through them. Like I said, it just says... That's just apparently for free, for no charge, is what they're saying at those levels. Anything else is going to have to cost a lease, and that's where you talk about, you know, $1,000 a month lease for however long you're using the system.
Mark Mines was at the meeting, too, and was able to update us on a lot of the information of where the equipment's at and what. But he thought we were free under 200 and some feet, 240 maybe or something. But this is less than that. This is 100 or 140 feet. So that's good to know.
And these are the two newest. This was one, like I said, 2013 it looks like. And then same thing, 2013.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other one, just west of Blue Springs, Wymore on the highway there. I don't know. I didn't see that one in here.
I think that's U.S. Cellular.
So.
And then there's one east of town, too.
Mm-hmm. I didn't dig too much. Nancy wasn't there. She's kind of bottom out there so I could go through them. And
I guess there is some benefit in relocating exactly where you're at as far as licensing. When you look at the elevation of Blue Springs versus Virginia, and Virginia is not the ideal location for it because of the location in the county, but Virginia is almost 290 feet above Blue Springs in elevation. So
if you use kind of the same location, then you kind of already have an idea of what you're going to get with range and still have to do all this research guessing. I mean, not guessing, but you plan on getting, you know, the numbers that are needed to cover areas, but you at least know already what you're getting.
And you can assume what you're going to get for coverage, but in reality, the coverage may be different than what is expected.
Like the plus thing, if we do decide to build a new one, like I said, the county owns it. It's theirs. Oh. You could actually, if you have any interest of from outside that want to lease on it, you'd have that option.
Have we had any interest in that?
I don't know any of them, but does happen.
Diode is currently on the one we're on.
It
now, I don't know
what kind of lease are they paying, because we keep hearing $1,000 a month. There's a lot of years of lease time there. Mm-hmm. What are we leasing?
I don't know, but there was two individuals there from Dial that night, they really didn't participate much in the discussion, but yes, Dial definitely has equipment on our tower down there.
So, I guess that's one thing. I think the Blue Springs Tower was for, you know, to serve Wymore Blue Springs, and then it became added into the rest of the system. But I'm not totally certain on that. But, you know, if it's got the coverage we need in the area, why? It's got it.
Is everybody aware? Can I speak to you? The yes. Cost here is an informal quote of roughly $192,000, and so to decommission, demolition, and erect a new one, that's just an informal quote here. So we're looking probably $200,000 to $250,000 to demolition and replace. And so that's if we want to continue to be in the communication business, that's probably something we need to look at doing. I know I've said for some time our obligation is to the, you know, for years we've done communications countywide, but those other fire districts, and I'm on the Beatrice Rural Fire, and I understand about public safety out in the rural areas. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be a part of that, but there's also an obligation from those departments to take an ownership in that as well. And my question is, have counties been too far into this when they should have probably not been? What's our obligation and liability from a countywide standpoint when, you know, I know when Mark was here, 80% of his time, and I'm not being flippant, was mm-hmm. spent with communications, yet he was hired as an emergency management director. And the complexity of that, as we listened to Doug and the statewide system, the complexity to do this, we're asking emergency managers to become institutional experts by trial and error and by on-the-job training when this communication stuff is serious business and it's complicated. And so my concern is, you know, with all due respect to Tim, do we have the qualified people in place to continue to do this? And I know even with the experience that Mark Mines had, it was confusing at times and frustrating to find out why signals weren't being received in Adams. And, you know, is it our obligation to send Mark out there, or at that time the emergency manager out there, to do that? So it really begs, you know, we've got some infrastructure issues we need to decide if we're going to continue to replace. But then I think there's a lot of merit in working with those agencies out there to work with communications, which is a city a responsibility, to maybe over the next couple of years, maybe my opinion is to kind of back out of this a little bit, help them. Don't pull, you know, the chair out from underneath anybody, but help them be more independent and be a resource. And it's come up before, and Doug has voiced it on Monday, and I think it's a great idea that we should look at a countywide communications specialist with a countywide communications board with all the entities. And if we go back to 9/11, all the stuff that they uncovered with communications in one particular city on the East Coast, we struggle with those communications in a county in the middle of the United States. And we got all these people trying to do these things, and I don't want to say hodgepodge, but there's little pieces out there that should the rationale be you have one person, or are we at that point with technology? You know, it's more questions than answers, but I think we're at that point where we got a $250,000 tower we got to do something with, because yep. no one's going to use it anymore. And
but our intent has always been that tower, we should have a working tower in place if we were to turn it over to another group.
I think so. I think there's some level of obligation that we've been doing that for so long. If we help with some infrastructure and then back, I mean, yeah. to just say we're taking it down and we're done with it, it's not our problem, I think that's probably pulling the chair out from underneath people. But there's a cost to that, to continue to say we're going to help you, but then we need to back out. And I'm not suggesting cutting and running, not at all, but I just think that the complexity, as I've sat here for the last year and a half or 2 years and listened to the experts come in, and even some of those experts get their lines crossed, if you can pardon the analogy there. And what do we know?
And there was some discussion with a couple of the fire departments there, and even I heard it from another one that maybe they should be more involved and as a group, you know, have an overall communications scheme and organization, you know, not have not have Pickerel on their own tower or Blue Springs on their own tower, that it is some type of group structure that where that is all shared. And
That was one of the discussions, was if they were to go on their own, then they'd be on each individual channel, so then it would cause problems with interoperability, and that would be a major overload on the dispatch because of this, the several, you know, viable towns that are in this area.
Right.
That there will be a need. Now, maybe the calls aren't as much as what obviously is in town here, but they are limiting what they want from the rural departments, is what I've heard.
Well, and here's some level of the experts really are across town or in the center of town. They're doing communications, and we sit and talk about a lot of this stuff, and they're the ones providing the communications, and I give them the appropriate kudos for the job that they do, but you know, they need to. I would welcome them to continue to be more of these conversations because you know, they're doing it. We're trying to get this stuff done, but my understanding is our obligation technically as a board by statute would be to provide communications for the sheriff's department, and the other stuff is just extra, the way I understand it, unless I'm wrong.
I'm just still haven't figured out where we were, where we are, where do we need to be, and how do we get there, and I just haven't totally grasped, and maybe it's just me, why we need so much. Why isn't it working? I don't see any big problems that isn't working within our sheriff's department or communication system. I don't see any dangers that we have at this point except something we just pull one little thing out of it. I've got to be convinced. I'm just not convinced for all the dollars we're spending of why.
The problem with what happened when they did the inspection on that tower to put that statewide radio on it, it didn't pass what they thought it, you know, to handle that. And then they kind of deemed it as, you know, unsafe. And once you have a problem with something like that, so who's going to climb it now since, you know, there's a report that it's unsafe? Who's going to climb it if there's lights that need to be repaired? You know, who's going to be liable for that if something happened to that tower or to whoever's on it? Who's, you know, like I said, that's the problem we're going to have. Who's going to do work on it if something were to go
wrong
with
it? If it doesn't work for the state, then pay for it, state. If you want something that works, come in and give us the money to do it.
No, Denny, they come in and said they weren't going to put theirs up there. It's still your problem. That's what the state said. They are not putting their equipment on that.
It's your problem even though they're the ones that can't use it.
Now because we have this report from that company that says that tower is unsafe, that is still the county's tower, so it becomes more of a county issue.
Because we own
What do we do with that tower? Do we replace that tower, or does NERMA come down and tell us to replace the tower? I mean, I'm just throwing out thoughts, too. Because that tower, we as a board have a report that says that tower is now unsafe. Is there liability, or how much liability, how much concern is there from our board that, yes, that tower needs to be replaced?
And then Nick, go ahead.
The state paid for that inspection, I assume.
Yes.
I mean, is this something we're all comfortable with, or is that something where we ought to have maybe somebody representing us take a look at it? Or is this shot? I mean, I haven't looked at it, and looking at it, I could climb it and look at it and not know what I was looking at. So
one of the issues with that tower, from what I read in that report, was how the guy wires are put onto that tower. They were basically just looped around and then wrapped. There was no D-link type deal, which is, you know, I suppose interchangeable if something would happen. But what's going on, apparently, or from what they've seen with those reports or the inspectors, that they start wearing away at where they're connected. Also, that tower is like, from what I've read about it, they bought the land in 69, so apparently the tower's put up around that time as well. So that tower's been there for that long. And how that one was made, it was made, best way I can describe it, is like rolled steel in a way, where it's basically a pipe, and it's rusting from, they've seen that those type of towers rust from the inside. It's not a galvanized tower like most of them now are installed. So that's the issue, is the structure itself is...
And we talked about that, so I just didn't know if it's worth having somebody else look at it, because I wouldn't know. I'm guessing there's a lot of towers up like that, and if it's something that needs to come down, it needs to come down. You just always wonder, is it worth having somebody else look at it? Or, I mean, or those of you that looked at it or whoever inspected it, if we're comfortable that it is bad.
Well, and I'm not sure we're comfortable that it's bad, but we do have the report.
Right.
And if we had another, somebody else inspected and they passed it, we'd still have a report that said it didn't pass.
And one that did.
It'd make us feel better, though.
It would make us feel better.
So it was a $40,000 report,
It's a massive tower. If you've never been down there, go drive up next to the thing.
485 feet.
Because it's pretty impressive. This new tower would be replacing it identical to what's there, only with new technology, new style. I mean, the first thing that popped in my head is, do we plan for something else, and do we look to see, while we're doing it, do we actually go a step above and make it bigger, or do you put it in the same if you actually do replace it?
Don't necessarily think there's a need to go bigger.
And I don't know, maybe Tim, you could, with our license, that all of our equipment's on there that's licensed, if we just put them on another, I don't know what you have to do to go through that. If the license just could transfer to the new one, if it goes somewhere else, a different location, then you have to re-license.
I think you still have to go through it because it's not going to be in the exact same spot because
it's going to be off to the side somewhere. Yeah.
The footing apparently failed as well at that inspection. It wasn't just the tower itself, so you can't really plant it back on there. But it'd be best anyway to leave it up until we get, if we decide to do this, put a new one up and then leave that one, then tear it down after we get that one.
Right,
obviously.
That'd be ideal.
But so we'd have to probably move it, and then you have to do, I don't remember all the steps, but you have to check if it's, you know, going to affect the environment and all the other stuff. I'm sure that's going to be part of that as well. So,
and part of, yeah, I'll agree with you. We don't know, other than this report we have from the tower, but if we hire somebody else, what is the cost? You know,
and I don't know.
And Matt kind of added that extra cash on it, like I said, $250,000. That would probably cover pretty much everything that needs to be done. You know, like the bid was right around $192,000, and we're, you know, another $60,000 or so added to it. It'd probably cover whatever type of extra, you know, installation of radios and all the other stuff as well.
Hiring somebody for all that.
So, but then Mark did bring up some extra costs that was going to be to it with all the other programming and.
Would we like to set a committee up, a committee of three of us, and go that route, or do we want to wait and in 2 weeks at our committee meeting again have this discussion again? We can look into some more things and see what we come up then, or I'm looking for feedback.
My suggestion that I would have is, I think there's already a pretty good committee that's already with the city, between the city and our communications specialists that we have on staff already.
Right.
Why don't we ask to be a part of that discussion there and have one person there as opposed to having another committee?
Well, no, I'd like more than one of us there. I think we need two or three there because if we're looking at, sure. We need to come back with a recommendation from that committee whether or not to put this tower up then, too.
It was nice when you and John were both at that one.
Yeah.
So, like I said, two would be good, I would think. But
And Doug, who's on your communication committee now? You and Bruce and Oliver and Tim?
You.
And me? Steve Lang.
Sorry. No, Bruce
Lang. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it's on that. You had that agreement. It's in that agreement. It's the last page or the second page. You had that the other day.
I have it.
And
yeah.
This who's on there. It's supposed to be biannually, minimum?
Okay.
Or is it just annually? Well, yeah, Bruce has got some good ideas. I mean, he's like everybody else. There's a price tag to it. His, you know, there's only so much money he's got to spend. But
and they're just coming up on a lot of equipment upgrades right now too that are right around the corner. Myron and I stopped there and talked the other morning, and this may be a good time to really look to see how everything is going to integrate together, especially with really tying other communities together.
Also, Brad, to my attention, that we do also send money to the city for emergency response. Right, we have some type of fund that we sent to him. I don't remember what it's exactly called. We send money to the city for emergency or for like the ambulance services and that type of stuff.
Dispatch and 911.
We have a contract with them for the 911.
Yeah, but do we send extra money for their services as well?
EMS agreement.
Right.
We have some EMS agreements with the cities.
And what that, with the putting that Blue Springs tower would also help them as well with their, you know, because they had their paramedics for this area as well. And if they don't have that tower, it's going to limit them as well, you know, because
Blue Springs
causes a lot more problems. So
there's an advisory committee here. It says emergency system advisory committee shall be formed consisting of police chief of the city, the fire chief of the city, Gage County emergency management director, the sheriff of the county, and it says it shall meet at least semi-annually. And it doesn't list any.
Well, I thought it listed the people that were on there.
Not on this.
I think you should go, Myron.
I have no problem. No, but I would like two, at least two or maybe three of us, if we meet here in the next week, we'll set up a meeting. And I would really like three of us there, because part of what we're going to do is we're going to come out of that committee with a recommendation on that tower. And that tower cost will come out of the county.
Yep. And then we
the way it sets today, I shouldn't say the tower cost will come out of the county. The way we're structured today, that tower cost will be coming from the county.
Well, and this is just my personal belief is, you know, we've been a primary player for some time. I don't know that there isn't some sort of implied obligation. We would do that anyway, but then work on getting out of the day-to-day stuff. But I think there's some infrastructure stuff that it's nobody else's fault that thing's...
Yep.
I think that's very possible would work, but that tower alone is just going to, you know, really do damage to whatever funds that the locals
Doug,
have.
We set a meeting up at the end of this week or early next week.
And I guess we're ready, and I don't want to throw either one of you gentlemen under the bus, you know, but you've already established some rapport with the players down south. And if you two would be able to sit in on that, and then we could pool our resources from what we already know and then just meet and, you know, give you some more background, and if we have to maybe pull somebody in from the outside to get those additional things that we need for, you know, feasibility studies. We've already done some of this in the past with what Tim kind of did. We've already done some of that, so it would save us some.
Eric was looking at me like cross-eyed, like he'd really like to be on that committee too, so I'd like three of us there at the committee. So I think Eric will be able to come. Eric will be able to come too to the meeting when we have him. So.
I thought Gary was looking at you like you wanted to be on the committee.
No, Gary wasn't looking. He was looking at you, and he wasn't looking at me. Eric was looking cross-eyed at me.
Like on with John, Myron, and
Eric. Yeah, we'll point the three of us, and we'll set hopefully Monday or Tuesday or something. Maybe we can set up something Wednesday. I'll have at least one meeting. We'll try, maybe if we need to have two. That work, Matt? No.
I'm just chuckling about how good government bodies are about setting up committees. And
I know it.
We're going to study this. We're going to study.
We will.
It's like how Terry works into
you
that
just
with John.
Sat back.
You'd be really good at that.
he's got his own Juergens Tower demolition crew.
That's what I was thinking when he wants to leave the tower up that before got, the new one goes up.
We don't want him in on this yet because he's just waiting to know what the bid's going to be to tear it down so he can do it cheaper. That's all Juergens is waiting on.
Terry, are you going to bid for this, for the demolition?
Quite possible.
Is the dirt crew 42? Our demolition?
He can get it down pretty quick.
So we'll leave that, and I'll keep in touch with Doug and Tim, and we will set a meeting up here Friday, Monday, Tuesday, or something. We'll start meeting. So, that workable for everybody?
As it talks about a joint public agency.
Okay.
For non-elected people.
You get that done. And that took quite a bit longer than I should part that would take. Next up, we have for discuss and approve or disapprove the county courthouse screening station, and the board would like to go into executive session first for discussion on this for the necessary protection of public interest. And we will have a short executive session for discussion on courthouse screening stations, and we will come back and have discussion on that and vote on that stuff. So at 10:23, we need a motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann to an executive session. Motion by Lytle. Motion by Lytle.
We're just so used to Danny doing it.
He's sounding more and more like me all the time. Yes.
I don't know which one of us that's
7-0.
I'm not sure either.
At 10:24 in executive session.
It's a thing.
Entertain a motion to come out.
Standing up behind the chair.
Now we're entertaining a motion to come out of executive session 11:11.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Thiemann to come out of executive session at 11:11. Vote.
Coming out?
Oh, yes.
Coming out of closed session.
Sorry.
We were having discussion of the courthouse screening station, and we have on the agenda need a motion to approve or disapprove the proposed courthouse screening station, which I guess you probably ought to visit a little bit about this. Our press wasn't in here. Okay, but I need a motion to approve or disapprove it.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it for the sake of discussion and a vote.
We have a motion to approve and a second for courthouse screening station. Now, Gus, really ought to come up and explain a little bit what and why it's basically the same proposal that we had 4 or 5 months ago.
It is basically the same proposal that I had about 5 months ago, where it was going to be the screening station on the first floor. It was going to be a trial basis, 6 months, come back, see how things would work. And I'm back now because it's about the year anniversary for the sergeant being up here, Sergeant Davidson, and about 4 or 5 months since we talked last about it. We've had a lot of things implemented, job description. He's getting his schedules in place, coordinating a lot more with the courts on the dockets. And getting a little better handle on. We're training my staff for over here, and they're trained once or twice, I think, for courthouse staff. So we're kind of, things are falling in place. So it was a good time to bring it back to board. We had a good, long, healthy discussion on it. And so that's kind of where we're at now for a vote, what they're going to decide to do on whatever's put up there for final decision.
That was part of the proposal is to find the right page here, is to move the screening station to the first floor, have the east and south entrances open on the first floor, and then along with that, the metal, or not the metal detector, what do you call it? The
baggage screener
would be part of that. We would be limiting the courthouse to those two entrances, except for the employees who would be allowed dinner on the east entrance to the second floor. This is a proposal for a six-month trial period. The start date would be sometime here in the future. It would not be immediately. There would be time to set that up and make sure everything's working and doing what they needed to do. If this would pass, the third floor screening station would not be, it would still be there, but it would just not be manned as often because more of the manpower would be down here on the first floor. Any more discussion? Gary?
Yeah, this is a vote that I'm really, really having a hard time with. I'm struggling on a couple of different levels just for the fact that, you know, I realize this would be a good way to control what comes in and out as far as the courthouse goes. But I question to what degree we need this far-reaching of security coming into the courthouse. I think that historically we haven't had the problems here. I realize this afternoon could be the afternoon when somebody walks in here and does in a whole bunch of people. And I guess I'm really struggling with, you know, the positives and negatives as far as what this is, as far as where this is going to take us. You know, and then, you know, on another level, I know where the people in my district are standing on this because I just spent most of a month walking around that district in an election discussing, different things with them, and this is one of the items that when it did come up, what I was told was is that we don't want that in our courthouse. We want to have our courthouse the same way it's always been. And I know as an elected official that, you know, there's times where you gotta make decisions that maybe aren't popular with your electorate. But I guess that's, like I said, that's a couple of the items that I'm really struggling with here. And, I don't know, it's gonna be a game time decision for me. So, I guess that's where I'm at.
Any more comments, Eric or John or you guys?
Well, I certainly agree. It's one of our tougher decisions to make, and you know, I don't know. Like I said, at committee, I don't think we're quite ready for this.
I do appreciate too, though, the sheriff and staff are going through trying to find every way they can to try to keep everyone safe here, looking not just at the norm here, trying to look outside the box and find the best ways. And I think we have some other ideas too. Moving forward, they're continuing to think of things regardless of how this vote goes specifically.
It's almost a whole societal issue of how much is enough as far as security.
I think the greatest fear always of this board, and not this board, but the sheriff's department or county or anybody here, is that this something would ever happen in this courthouse or on our county grounds or anything. That's always our greatest fear. And I guess, that's something, some things you can never plan for, but yet we as a county, we need to do everything we possibly can. And I will thank to the committee, Gus, Klaus, and Davidson, and everybody for doing the work you guys do on this. And I know sometimes after the last vote, it maybe seemed like we weren't appreciative, or maybe things didn't go the way that they'd hoped, but we are. We're very appreciative. Security is always at the forefront. It always will be an issue. And we did at our committee meetings the other day. Judge Corzine was here and visited quite a while with our committee too about what's going on in the court and some of their concerns. And very, very thankful, that was mentioned several times, for what we're doing now. But also, Judge Brian, too, wrote a letter about input on if we went to a one-floor, the first-floor screening and everything. So, any more comment? Otherwise, I'll just make one more comment, too, though. We do have down below here on, we do have discuss and approve a request to change the third-floor screening station, and that we will do after this because that could be affected a little bit by this vote here or whatever and stuff. So, otherwise, any more comments? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and vote. 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 1, 2, 3, 4. Denny, you're abstaining?
Yeah. No, I'm against.
Vote is 1-4, Bowman 4, the other 6 are against. So motion failed 1-6. Next up, we have on the agenda discuss and approve or disapprove requesting change to third floor screening station to be approximately $5,000. Brian, maybe you could explain a little bit what you're proposing here.
Motion first.
Hold it. We need a motion. Sorry.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second that.
A motion by Lytle, second by Hill to approve the third floor screening station proposal.
We would like to make that area more a permanent structure, not permanent like drilled into the ground. We'd have casters to move things aside so you can get in and out of there. But a safer structure for the deputies and those that are involved there, so someone can't come off the elevator. We have no protection there. And what's going on behind us. But also to be able to equip that with hardline internet, telephone access, so we may use the intercom, lockdown, panic button, and the possibility of being able to operate the elevator from that station with a software change that I talked to the elevator man with, and a speaker system so that we can hear what's going on in the court, just for safety features and to be able to equip us to do our job should something happens in a quick manner. So.
Would you like to try to, if
if we can find a way to incorporate that baggage check up there, maybe talk to a moving company besides Gary. And see if there is a way to walk that up the stairs.
Yes, and before we decide, yes, I would love to have the baggage screener up there. So before we decide how we're going to build this, we would need to know if we need to incorporate the baggage screener to that plan. So
maybe we can look into some. I'm sure there's got to be a way to move something like that.
He picked up. He knows how heavy it is. It's heavy.
It's heavy. It's heavy.
He's a construction guy, though, yeah. So he has a little different take on some things than maybe the rest of
yeah,
us do.
Yeah, our that's true.
Perception of how things could work. So yeah.
But and as far as the baggage screener has been checked, and it's licensed with the state, and we have all that procedure to make sure that it's up to date. So.
But this proposal is basically to, I guess, improve and make better the screening facility we have up there on the third floor.
Right.
Some things that, since Brian's been here, that would really help improve not only the flow of it, but the safety of it, and some things that maybe would help with the courts as far as communications also. So
you're correct.
A very good proposal. So, Gary?
Brian, a couple of times you've referenced the elevator and a software change. Now, remind me, Gus. I thought when we did the renovation went on, that I thought that darn elevator was supposed to be set up to work the way we wanted it. And then when it all got done, said and done, then it didn't work.
So
what Brian's referencing? Are they going to be able to do it or not?
When but he talked about something totally different than we were initially. We talked about when we were going on the backside, to some degree, they come off at the court floor. He's referring to having some control over yourself right where you're at.
When the elevator man was here, he showed me the computer that is down there in the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, he opened it up, and he says, we just need to update the software, and then it could be accessed from the computer as far as where you want the elevator to go and what door you want to have
open.
Okay,
so what you're talking about is your
control. So I asked him, I said, can that be moved upstairs? If you connect to that computer, you can move it upstairs.
Okay.
So
if they're able to do this, why can't we program the dang thing so you don't have both doors open at the same time?
You could, but there's a lot more money.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just put in a lot anyway and didn't like money.
Yeah. It was like $12,000 or $14,000.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It was over 12. Yeah.
So,
okay.
So, any more discussion?
Just a comment. So we're going to improve the security on the third floor to catch the knives and drugs and other stuff that comes in on the first and second floor. So all the items get to the third floor via the first and second floor. For the record.
But I want to make sure of the record that. At my discretion, if there's something coming up, that I will do screening on the first floor on a temporary basis if we have something hot topic, and I'll certainly let at least some board members know about that on the committee if we're going to do something. We'll know that in advance if I can do that. I ask for that option. I just have to have that if we got some major going down.
I would agree to that.
Yep.
Yeah. If you see something.
I don't think that's a problem. If you see there could be an issue, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay,
thank you. Gary,
we're actually voting on approving to do the screen changes, screen station changes, but before we're approving that, but do we want to have the actual changes brought to buildings and grounds before they actually move forward with it, or how are we proceeding with that? I mean,
We talked about it, and he had the layout,
Okay. And the design.
Yeah.
I think what we try to do, Gary, is we'll get a quote like we normally do. It goes through days, and we'll get up the vendor committee, and then we'll.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify what we were doing, yeah.
Bring it back as you need to with the committee, but basically the concept, we're good with the concept.
Right.
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 Ready to vote? Vote. 7-0.
like that red.
Do we need the last line on here then? Close session for security?
We done
that. That's what you did.
That's what we did. That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't read that at the right time. And stuff.
Aaron, can I make a further?
See anything? John?
I would like for you to bring back another proposal to enhance some things for the courthouse. Because there are some things we can do outside of a screening station, and I think we're more than willing to listen to them. And
yep. Any more comments? Otherwise, we'll call the meeting adjourned at 11:26.
You work really hard.